Hola, hello, hi, bienvenido, and welcome back, or welcome to Mentors Today. Ileana.
Hi, everybody. How are you, Rob?
I'm terrific. I'm very excited. I feel like it's like a new year. I'm very excited.
Me too. I'm very excited because this is one of the first episodes that we are recording this year, even though it's almost February, but it's really, really nice to be back.
Exactly, 100%. So with that, we've got a really cool guest today. Kind of excited because this is like right in our zone of trying to share the stories of like the up-and-comers, right? We talked at the end of the year. 20 years from now, there will be people that will be really influential and powerful and famous that will look back and say, we interviewed them before anybody knew them.
Right?
And I think today's guest might be one of those. So why don't you tell our audience about our guest?
Okay, so today we are joined by Maria Morfin de la Parra. She's a principal at Bimbo Ventures. She's a rising star in the entrepreneurial economy of Mexico early in her career. After graduating from Universidad Anáhuac, Maria has built an extremely diverse CV, which has exposed her to key trends at the right moments. She's a consummate relationship and community builder and has exercised these skills in roles at FinTech area in Mexico, such as Discovery in Mexico, the real estate crowdfunding platform, as well as AFICO, the early crowdfunding industry association. She also experienced life in the ecosystem from the side of an entrepreneur, building a Hyperblock MX, and is now building an all of her experiences in the food industry investment space within the corporate venture investment arm of Bimbo Group. Bimbo, which of course is the world's largest bakery, whose mission statement is nourish a better world. And it's Mexican. To their more than 134,000 associates in the 33 countries. So Maria, welcome to Mentors Today.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Juliana. I am very happy to be here.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Bienvenido. It's awesome to see you, my young old friend. We were just talking off air. It's been a handful of, like, there's that whole like 3 years of pandemic time that's just added to whatever else the time was, right? So I feel like it was only a couple years ago that we saw each other, but it was probably five.
Yes.
Which at your young age is like, you know, 20% of your lifespan or something.
Alive.
Exactly. Right? It's just crazy. Like the Ileana and I have known each other for now like six years. And yet I haven't seen her in like three. And 6 years is like 20% of her life. Like, that's like crazy, but it's just weird. Anyways, so we're grateful to have you. It's awesome to have a conversation about a topic that frankly has come up often on our show over the last 2 years, this idea of corporate venturing and corporate venture capital. But honestly, it hasn't come up because we've interviewed anybody in the space. We haven't. It's come up mostly because traditional venture capitalists or even other corporate people or institutional government leaders will mention it, right? And sometimes it's kind of like a, I don't understand it. and a lot of times it's, and sadly, a lot of times it's kind of dismissive, like, I don't know what they're doing. I think they're just playing with innovation or playing with startups, but I don't think they're really serious. So my first question to you, and what we would love to explore with your help, is just help our audience understand, like, what is corporate venture? Like, what is corporate venturing? And then where do you think it fits kind of inside of the broader entrepreneurial ecosystem?
Well, corporate venturing is obviously how it has to be in a corporate. And it is usually the arm that the corporate has to, as some of your early guests said, like, play in the entrepreneurial ecosystem. And so I guess that we haven't heard that much about it, because it is needed to build a corporate venture arm. You need to have a very strong corporate. And what we have seen is, although, if, for example, in Europe, in the US, you get to hear more about CVCs, in Latin America, we don't have that many corporations that are ready to open a corporate venture arm. And this is because either they don't have the size, or maybe they don't even have the culture that will make the value that is produced from the corporate venturing be absorbed by the corporation. So it like many things have to happen for a corporate to decide to open a corporate venture capital.
And how long have you been there now?
I have been here for almost 3 years. I can't believe it's been so long, but yes.
Wow.
So in the context of the three of us, you're literally the smartest corporate venture person that we know. So like you're the most experienced person on this topic. Tell us maybe a little bit more about what's a day in the life for someone in your role, and exactly what is your title again? And then what is kind of a day in the life of your role look like?
So my title is Principal Bimbo Ventures, because that's like easier for anyone outside to understand. But the way that we are organized internally is we have seen that there was no other arm that was linking startups with the corporate. So we don't only make investments as other VC would do, but the corporate venture capital arm, at least in Grupo Bimbo's case, because there are so many different ways to do this, is we want to be this link. So what my responsibilities, my main responsibilities are, is to be that link and to manage all of the open innovation activities that we do. So what's open innovation? It's another super ambiguous term that people say, and it sounds cool, and we can get hyped, and no one understands for real what it is, right? But what we understand for open innovation inside Grupo Bimbo is anything that is a window to the future or a window to outside that will help us bring value into the company and for the company to bring value into the world. Like, we really believe in our mission of nourishing a better world. So the CVC Bimbo Ventures is only another way to do it quicker and in a better way.
Awesome.
And I'm going to go back to the first question that you asked me, Rob. Like, what is the place that we have in the whole ecosystem? I think that corporate venture capital can bring a lot of value for certain startups. It is difficult, actually, to work with a huge corporation. And that is something that I have to tell startups. It's like, you have to know, like, we are powerful, but we are large. And largeness implies slowness. Yeah. It implies more people looking at what you are doing, more compliance, everything. So you have to be ready and you have to have the muscle and the resilience to get this. But for the startups that are ready to take on all of this baggage, it can bring a lot of what we call smart money, because we are the experts. I mean, we do have experts inside that have been in the industry for, you know, 20 years or something, and they can certainly help the startups get very well on their feet, and the startups can help Grupo Bimbo to understand what it is to adapt to the future, to move quickly, to be more flexible, etc., etc. So this is, I think, the added value. And also that we don't depend that much on the markets. So you can see, you know, you start hearing the news how, I don't know, there's less investment by VCs, or there's more investment, or huge valuations, small valuations and stuff. And because we are not interested, of course, we want a profit, but we are not in it for the profit. We're in it for the strategic value. So if the startup is ready to deliver strategic value, the way the market is behaving, I mean, it will affect, but it won't affect as much as a traditional venture capital fund.
Awesome. I want to know more about this startup that you have in the CVC. But I also want to go back a little and like back to basics, because we know Bimbo, it's a huge name in Mexico and, as we just mentioned, all over the world. But how come Bimbo start to think about startups, venture capital? Because a person that doesn't know anything about this, we will read Bimbo and we'll think about El Osito Bimbo and all the bread, the delicious food that they make. But I'm curious about this. Do you know about when does they start to think about doing corporate venture capital?
Yeah, sure. And I love that story myself. First, Bimbo curiously, I mean, it doesn't sound like an innovation company because it's like, you know, it's a bread factory, basically. But it started with innovation. So the big innovation was that you could see the bread through the plastic and you were always sure that it was very good quality. Like the standardization of quality and the fact that you could, it was packaged in cellophane. It was like, wow, you know, and then they started with their own distribution and stuff. And with this innovation and with this like fast pace, like Grupo Bimbo is started like a startup, only it was 76 years ago, so no one would call it a startup. There was not such things as angel investors or anything like
that. It was just a business guy and a banker who decided that they could make bread and make more of it.
Yes, exactly. And good bread. So that was important as well.
By the way, I'm getting hungrier as I listen to these answers. So just
Oh yes. I'm so thankful that we don't go to the office that often because you know, having access to all of those products is just too much of a temptation.
Talk about carb loading.
Right? Exactly. But yeah, sorry, going back to the story of like how Bimbo got into CBC. Well, our CEO has always had like the chip of growth, of innovation, of, you know, how can we not sleep in like how we are being the winners? Because then you will become another Blockbuster, another Kodak, you name it, you know? So he always has had this chip of always updating, always have the people with a flexible culture, an agile culture, everything. And this was heightened by a visit that he made to Silicon Valley. He made a visit to Silicon Valley and saw all that was happening there. Saw all of the crazy technology, crazy entrepreneurial ecosystem. And he was like, okay, this is very cool. We cannot be missing out on this. Like he was like in a completely formal moment.
But this was like in the 90s or when?
Oh no, 2016.
Ah, okay, it's super new.
Okay.
Yes. And so he went back. He was like, we need to build this. I don't know how. No one in Mexico knows how. Or not that we know. I mean, now we know that there were others that were starting or had already started and stuff. But they took bold guy from the financial team, and they asked him, like, do you want to do this? You don't know what it is. We don't know what it is, but do you want to do this? And he was like the entrepreneur inside, of course, the entrepreneur inside of Grupo Bimbo that took on the challenge and decided, yes, I'm going to build a CBC without knowing anything about the startup ecosystem, anything about what a CBC was, anything like that.
Is that person still involved today?
He's not. He was promoted to a position with more responsibilities. We do miss him. I mean, our actual leader is amazing as well, Constantino. But Jose Manuel, what he built, he laid the foundations for what we have today. And though we still have a lot to build, it is amazing. Like, we are so thankful for what he did. And he did it blindly. And he was so, like, accurate in what he decided to do.
It's fascinating to me that, to Ilya's point, the date, the range, like the recency of this. So, I mean, it was already like a 60-ish year old company. If you're saying it's like, right, yeah. Like, I mean, so it was already like a pretty far in its lifespan, and to come along and say, so it's, I use this phrase a lot in our business. And so like I talk about like the next 50 to 100 years. And it kind of sounds like that's the way they looked at this, was like, okay, there's like Bimbo the first 75 years and then Bimbo the next 75 years, and we need to build something to get us there.
Yes, 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 completely. And I mean, there were already innovation areas, but from that moment on, not only Bimbo Ventures was born, but also like the Global Technology Department. That's like an edge group. And they are always working on these like crazy technologies and ideas that can help a Grupo Bimbo get better. And it's like, you know, like an internal venture builder, but it's not a venture because it's only for ourselves. It's interesting, weird. We still don't understand it fully, but it brings a lot of value as well. And we started existing too. So that's basically like how we started. It started, you know, stumbling in the darkness. The very good two steps that the founder, like Jose Manuel Ramirez did, is first, he decided to make an investment in a strategic fund in Silicon Valley so that this fund would help them like understand what was happening, present to them with interesting startups and everything. This fund is B37. They call themselves like the bridge number 37 that joins Mexico with the US.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I've never heard of them. I have to Google them. That's interesting.
Yes, they do an amazing job. We consider them almost an extension of who we are. They are amazing. And the other thing that he did was an acceleration program. He asked for the partnership of Blue Box here in Mexico, and they just decided to go ahead and scout startups and run an acceleration program. This also helped Bimbo Ventures to be more on the map. We know that many people still don't know there's a Bimbo Ventures. We don't have a web page, but we will.
Yeah.
It's all about the, you know, largeness.
I think when Maria went to work for them and I saw the like your update at LinkedIn or something, right? That was the first time I thought to myself, oh, like Bimbo has a corporate venture arm. I didn't even know that. And I think I said that to you. I was like, congratulations. I didn't even know that they had this.
Yes. Now that you're saying that, I remember you saying that.
That's fascinating. Do us a favor if you can, because this has been an awesome explanation. Maybe just like we talk a lot with venture capitalists when we interview them, give us like a snapshot, if you can, of like, this is our investment thesis. This is the check sizes that we write. This is the profile of founders or companies that we're looking for. Kind of a, you know, if I was a young entrepreneur, what do I have to fit to get invested in by to work with Bimbo?
Awesome. So like the basic bottom line is it has to be a strategic investment. This can happen in three different ways. One is what we call a path to acquire. Maybe I'll take a step back, and first I'll explain that we look for technology not only in the food industry, but all through our value chain. This means, of course, food tech, ingredients, packaging, etc. But we also look at robots. We also look at data companies, blockchain companies, anything that will help us be more sustainable, more productive, and bring better value. We look at it. It doesn't mean we invest in all of it. We definitely cannot invest in all of it because I'll tell you more about it in a bit. But we do look at it. And so the reasons where we do invest after looking at all of this, because it's a very unfocused focus, right? It's like all through the value chain. It's, you live outside like pharmaceuticals, and that's it, pretty much.
No, I mean, you've got food, you've got different food products, you've got internal finance, operations, manufacturing, distribution, sale, like you've got everything at scale in a company that big. So
yes,
solutions don't necessarily have to be like how to make a better bagel.
Exactly. Yeah. Right? Totally.
It could be like how to run our finance department more efficiently.
Exactly. Yeah, totally. Or, you know, how to have our associates be healthier or something like this.
Sure. Yeah.
But that's like for all of the startups that we see. But when we do decide to invest, it has to fall into, first, it can be path to acquire. And this is usually for product companies. So it's companies that we see with a potential to become part of the portfolio of Bimbo brands, and they still need some work to do. So let's say that we are like the dating moment before the marriage, before we take them to M&A, and they can like seal the deal, right? So we will help them to get to certain milestones that will make them a good candidate for acquisition. And this is, of course, talked with the entrepreneur from the first moment. Another one is if there's a direct synergy, and not only a direct synergy, but an obvious like strategic value in investing in them for the synergy. This can be an example is an ingredients company that's still developing the places or the applications for this ingredient, and we want it to be focused on our objectives, then we might do an investment and help them achieve their objectives quicker and have them aligned to what we're looking for. It can be sodium reduction, sugar reduction, adding more protein, etc., etc. And the other one is like the fun, ambiguous sandbox one that we call future bets. Future bets is technology that sounds like it could be disrupt our industry, sounds like it can have to be with the bread industry, but we still don't know how to chew into it. There's no business unit that can like really grab it, but we know that we have to have our toe dipped in that pool, so we will do an investment there.
Like how we're going to deliver bread via drones to the moon.
Exactly.
Right, like.
Yeah. Exactly. So we have the, like these three different ways. We don't have a specific check size because of the unfocus of our focus. It's very different to invest in a product company than in a robotics, than in a electric vehicles company. It's like completely different species. And another thing is that we don't have an allocated fund. We invest from the balance sheet. So
okay.
This means that at the same time we have an open wallet, but of course we need to go through a ventures committee to have all of our investments approved.
So to be clear for the novices in the audience, including this guy, so We're Bimbo with all that cash flow, all that profit, all that operating cash capital. And then Bimbo Ventures isn't, we raised a $100 million dedicated fund and it sits over here in a separate account. And this is literally like, you guys are operating as you described, but then the investment decisions are coming out of corporate. Interesting.
Yes, completely. And I understand from talking to other CVCs that are just, you know, as started as we did in the darkness and stuff, there are many that do the same thing and other that do have allocated funds specifically for that.
Because there are not much in Mexico.
Not much.
I think you know each other, like, you know, all.
Maybe I think we do know most of them. Yes.
How many would we guess? Like, is it like in the top 20 corporations? Is it 10? Is it 50? I have no idea.
You know, that's actually a good question and one that I should be able to answer. I think it would be like 20.
not to put you on the spot. Like, you're not speaking for the entire corporate venture industry
how
in Mexico,
do you know?
Right now. Right, exactly. But like to Elay's point, right? It seems like it's probably, I mean, I could think of a couple, obviously Cemex is the one that everybody, right? But it's funny, we're all nodding our heads, audience. But that's because Cemex basically just marketed the fact that they were doing this.
Yes.
And now Bimbo, and then like, I think like Nestle and...
Yeah. Yeah, there are several, Rotoplast, Flecha Amarilla.
Okay, so...
Yeah.
It might be fewer than 20. It might be a dozen or so, or maybe fewer.
Yeah. I think we do reach 20, but not much more.
Interesting.
Yes.
And I was thinking about the kind of the projects that you look for. How is it like? Are they like in the very early stage phase, or are they big, developing some very innovative technology? And where do they find you or where do you find them?
And well, how do they find us? Usually it's like from word to mouth, because as I said, we still don't have a web page coming soon. Wait for it. But they usually find us through LinkedIn or by word of mouth, basic social media or Googling, you know. And the way we find them, we have several ways to find them. The acceleration program is one way of doing like very focused scouting. We have run 5 acceleration programs so far. We are actually, we're going to finish on the 15th of February, our 5th acceleration program, which has been so amazing. Like, you would love each and every one of the entrepreneurs that were part of this. Absolutely amazing. And so this is like one way to find startups in a specific subject. But also we have like a very large network of innovation hubs, universities, other CVCs, government agencies, of course, et cetera, that just we share pipeline with each other. Obviously, like fun friends, fun the with a D in the end, which are also fun, of course. But so we share a lot of pipeline through that. And also we use different tools that are out there in the market. So we use Google, normal. We use PitchBook, CV Insights. We're experimenting with some other new ones. We'll see which ones are the best. But yeah, we leverage both on technology and on our like normal human network connections.
See, I'm curious, quick question. Global footprint, big massive company, right? But heavy Mexico concentration. Are all these things you just described, all the pathways, the programs, the networking, is that all really Mexico focused? Is it LATAM focused? Is it global? Like what, where are we finding these people?
Well, we are like the central offices are in Mexico City, but we actually have hubs in the US, in Israel, and in Spain. We have just opened the one in Spain. And I am moving to the UK for 3 months to help the hub in Spain, like, you know, settle down and just
nice.
They didn't want to move you all the way to Spain to help Spain settle down? Like, they're like, UK is close enough.
No, like the main focus is in Europe for food. We decided we're going to be Spain and UK. And okay. Because she cannot be in two sides at the same time. Yeah. I am going to be her like eyes and ears from over there. And I'm going to still be managing all of the operations here. But this is to say that we have a global reach and we make our, let's say, our reach farther with the funds that we invest in. So we have investments in funds just for them to help us understand the different markets or the different industries, the different geographies, and also through allies. Like it can be hubs in some cases, it's like the commercial areas of the countries, etc. But this is to say we are looking for solutions worldwide because we are a worldwide company. We need bread to be great quality, sustainable and delicious all through the world.
Did you ever imagine when you were in like primary school eating your, I don't know, your donitas or something like this, that you will end up working for Bimbo as an executive?
Of course I wouldn't. Of course I wouldn't. Like, no way. I mean, I always liked Bimbo, but when I was a child, I wanted to become first a nun and then an artist. So none of that happened, definitely.
Ilya, I told you, she's a Renaissance woman, this one.
And later on, I went to the phase that I guess we all go through where it was like, no, capitalism is super bad. Corporations are the worst that could happen in the world. I never want to work for one, you know? And here we are, 3 years into Bimbo. And to be honest, I couldn't be happier. I don't think I could be making more of a good impact in the world, which is something that I think many of us care. I mean, you with the growth hacks, I know that you care for this. It is amazing to think that, for example, we find a solution for our packaging, for the packaging circularity. And it is like, okay, we are actually like making a difference because this is the largest baking company in the world. So if we are solving this, it is actually, you know, moving the needle a little to where we need it to be.
Sure. Yeah, right. Think about just your own scale, like just the volume of Bimbo. But then, you know, as the leader in the industry, once you do it and say, this is the way we do sustainable packaging, for example, everybody else in the industry is eventually going to have to follow. So now you've really, yeah, no, that's a very interesting way to look at it for the nun turned artist, turned anti-capitalist, turned pro-globalist, let's use capitalism for good. That's an awesome journey.
Yeah. Yes. It's been an interesting one, a very interesting one.
Awesome. And has it been hard for you being in corporate venture capital as a woman?
To be honest, I think it hasn't been for me. A lot of it is because when I went into the company, it was Jose Manuel, the one that started, and Melissa was his right hand. And Melissa is a bullet. Like Elisa Navarrete, hear that name, she might rule the world in the next years, you know, she is amazing. And so I never felt like there was any kind of discrimination or you know, like looking down or anything. I'm actually thinking of a couple of funny episodes where I did feel that, but it was never from my company or from the CBC world. It was more okay. Like funny enough with startups that we were trying to get into and you know, make it come interesting comments for
the startup tech bro culture. Okay. I'm sure Ilya's had she's got some scars from dealing with startup tech bros over the years.
Oh, been there. Blockchain ecosystem left something in me.
That's true. That's actually true. Like, that's interesting because where we left off in our friendship in person, you were working heavily fintech even before we called it like blockchain stuff. It was just fintech when that was cool.
Yes.
What was the catalyst? Like, was Bimbo just an opportunity that randomly presented itself, or was it a very intentional pursuit by you? How'd you wind up where you are?
To be honest, it was a lot of being in the right place at the right time, literally. I ended my relationship with Afico, I ended my time in Afico, and I went on to build the Discovering Mexico, the real estate crowdfunding platform that you were talking about. And while I was there, I started the Masters in Business Technology that Collective Academy offers. I started this master's, to be honest, because I wanted to study something abroad. But I, as you can see, I have a lot of interests and I couldn't decide on what to study. So I was like, okay, I cannot like stay you without, you know, keeping moving forward. So I will take this the master sounds amazing. So I will take this. Best decision ever. Like it was so good. So I started the master's, and one long story short, I was offered a job. I'm an industrial designer by university.
Wow.
And as you see, I had not done industrial design for a long, long time. So let's say the job description that I was offered was building a business incubator for industrial design projects. So I was like, you know, I talked with my boss and I was like, I am sorry, I'm abandoning you, but look at this, you know, like this is tailor-made for me. Long story short, a month after I was hired, they told me they were broke. They couldn't do it anymore. And I left. But I was still doing the master's and I decided to start my own project. And I started building. Actually, Rob gave me a bit of advice on the education project that I was cooking at that moment.
I was sitting. I was in like an airport or a train station somewhere, and we had a Zoom about this conversation. That was the last time we spoke.
Yes. Exactly. But so finishing the master's, all this to say, a very important part is José Manuel was my classmate at the master's. So after finishing the master's, I must have either I spoke well one day out of luck, or you know, he liked my note taking or something, but he was like, okay, I like how you work. I want to tell you what we do in the company and
first of all, you're being very humble, right? Like, he saw you just like we all see you. And he was like, okay, who's this ridiculously talented classmate of mine? Right. And I think she's looking for a new opportunity. And my job is literally to recruit the best and brightest people I can find, because I'm making this up as I go. And then boom, there you were. That's awesome. That's life. We make our own luck. We make our own luck. And sometimes we get luckier, but we make our own luck by being in the right moments, being in the right room at the right time, and being open-minded.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. No, and thanks a lot for the kind words, Rob. But yes, that's pretty much how it happened. I didn't look for it, but I saw it like an awesome opportunity. Like, I was offered to be in an amazing company because you always listen about how Bimbo has a very good working culture. I can tell you, and I am not being paid for this, it is true. Like, the culture in Bimbo, if I build something or when I build something, I want to copy their cultural practices. It is amazing. Amazing.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
Person is in the center and you feel it from the moment that you're interviewed for the first time.
That's really cool.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Okay, so you know this episode, well, this podcast, it is called Mentor of the Day. So you are the Mentor of the Day today. And we would like you to share with us three pieces of advice for our audience about anything you want to share. So go ahead.
Oh my God, three pieces of advice. This is such a responsibility. But I guess one of them would be what Rob just mentioned. Like, a lot of what good has happened to me in my professional life has been being there, being open, being curious, and showing up, you know, showing up like the best face that you can have. And sometimes you're tired and you can't show up, and it's very all right as well. But when you can, it is just, you know, being open to opportunities makes the opportunities look for you. And that's just something that happens. I think the second piece of advice would be a bit related to the first one. Just like, we can have huge desires, and that is very good, and huge ambitions, and that is very good. But we also are people, that we have a body, a mind, a soul, and relations that we have to care for. So just remember to take care of all of the aspects of yourself as a human being and of the people that you love, because we're in this world for a very short period of time.
Yeah.
So I think, for example, with the pandemic, we all like saw this.
Yeah.
Very like obvious, right? But just I think it's always good to have a reminder of that. And memento mori.
Yes.
You will die, so enjoy life and also take care of the most important things. And the third, what would be the third? Work on your habits. I think that would be a very good advice to give. Like, maybe, I think if you don't develop the habits early on, and it's never a late time to develop them, of course, but it's like when you were learning math at school and suddenly you didn't understand the subject, but the next subject is linked to the first one. So you kind of like are left behind and stuff. This can happen to habits and to growth in general. So you don't have to like be perfect at all of them all at once, but be sure always to be growing on a good habit for you, and not only for you, but working for the rest, because when we do things for others, it's happier. It's better for us as well. Sorry, I think it was not three advices. I think I
preached it. It's like three and three quarters, four. It's okay.
That's awesome. Maria, please tell us where we can find you on social media.
Sure. So on LinkedIn, it's Maria Morfin de la Parra. So my full name. Very happy to connect. In Instagram, right now I'm not using it, because as I am moving to London, it's been a bit overwhelming to have so much information all around. So I stopped for a moment, but in February I'll probably...
By the way, I'm going to say that's the fourth piece of advice right there is, yeah, like, hey, millennials and Gen Zs, have a healthy set of boundaries and have a healthy relationship with social media. Use it. Don't let it use you.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. That's an amazing piece of advice. Yes. But you can find me as at Mari Morfin.
Okay.
So
how can people find Bimbo Ventures anywhere on social?
So you can write to me on LinkedIn, because we still don't have
our website.
We will make sure. Yeah, we will make sure to let everyone know when we do have a website.
Like the year, like 2029, 2030, somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
I caught flack last night at an event because we're in the process of upgrading our website, which has been down for like 3 months out of 7 years that it's been around. And you're over here going like, we're a 10-year-old company or a 9-year-old company, and we still don't have a website. So I'm feeling a lot less pressure today to get that website redone. Like, if Bimbo Ventures can not have a website, Growth Hacks can live without a website for a couple of months.
No. We will have it. We will have it before the first trimester is over.
So if partners or founders are looking for Bimbo Ventures, more information based on they listen to this episode, they can find you on LinkedIn and then inquire, and you'll direct them accordingly.
Yes.
Awesome. That's great. Yes. I just want to say thank you. This is awesome. Also, it's funny. There's a weird, subtle secondary motivation for me a lot of times in these shows. And this is a perfect example. It's like you're both just like superstar young women, Mexicanas, right? And so for me, it's always fun when I get to be a part of having you two now get to know each other, right? Because then you two will exist outside of me, which makes the world a little bit better, which is really cool. But I want to compliment you and say, you said in your advice, you said something along the lines of, you know, like show up and put in the work, right? And then opportunities get created. That's literally the root of how we met, right? Because there I was wandering the floor of the biggest entrepreneurial trade show in Latin America in Mexico City. And yes, there was somebody who knew each other, like your cousin, who says, hey, you should meet her. But then that was fine. That was the introduction. But then I watched you for like 3 days show up earlier than everybody else to the booth, leave last at the end of the day, talk to everybody. And everybody kept coming up to me in very typical male machismo fashion, and saying like, oh, how come you're not talking to like the big bosses at Afico? How come you're not like following that old guy around and trying to get his attention? And I'm like, because she's literally the one that's making everything happen. Like, I'd rather talk to her. She's literally holding this whole thing together, making sure everybody understands what they're supposed to be doing, keeping everybody on point. And I'm like, she's way smarter than most of these other people that you guys want me to talk to. And it was as a result of you literally being who you are. You showed up, you put in the work. You are kind, you are professional, you are thoughtful, as we just saw on the show. And that was endearing to me. And now we're friends for life. So just your advice, you're literally living your advice.
No, thank you. Thank you, Rob. Thank you so much.
This is Dear Rob being Dear Rob.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
It's the first episode of the year. I haven't had a chance to do this in a couple of weeks.
But even though it's all is true.
No, thanks a lot.
That was awesome. Thank you so much. It was a blast.
As always, we thank you so much for listening. Today's show was recorded in Los Angeles and Guadalajara, produced by Deanna Bernal in Mexico City, and promoted by the content team at Growth Hacks in Tijuana, Mexico. You can always find and share our show via any popular podcasting platform, as well as find us on social media at Mentors Today on Instagram. If you'd like to connect with our host, you can find them on Twitter or Instagram at I am Rob Ryan or at Ileana JAF. Gracias, thank you, and we'll see you next time.